Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 16th of April, recording at 9:44 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, a few more down than up. Japan was down the most, I believe. Yes, definitely. And India up a little bit, particularly the banking sector, but a quiet day. Generally, Philippines is the one ASEAN market which is probably within a day of its all-time high, so that's interesting, still getting that strength there. In Europe, we had a soft opening. There's the Spanish bond yields had pushed higher up to 6.15 and then backed off, but only 7 or 8 points. Spain was down on the day. The others were mostly had modest gains, pegged back a little bit towards the close as Wall Street weakened on the softness in Apple and Google. I think I saw on the news flash that some 56 or 58 billion has been wiped off the valuation of those two stocks in the last couple of days. Now, Apple fell 25 today, down to 580. So that's off. That's down from a high of all-time high of 644. To 580 in 5 days. So we had the Dow up a bit today, but Apple dragged the S&P down and the Nasdaq just fractionally. It was almost unchanged, but pulled the Nasdaq down a little bit further. Okay, what else? Bonds, quietly mixed, nothing much going on there, but the U.S. Treasuries have been steady recently with Wall Street in retreat. The dollar started off a little bit steadier but lost those gains, although that didn't help to lift precious metals. Silver and palladium did manage to end with modest gains, but platinum and gold were both a bit lower. Not a whole lot, but gold is at 16.51 and 50 cents as I speak, but it had been $10 lower at one stage. On the oil patch, this is interesting. Well, the WTI is a little bit firmer, 103.10. The real story is Brent, which slipped further quite sharply. It's down to 118 and 24 cents as I speak. So that's extended its decline from that little overhanging top area. Grains and beans weaker in here today, and that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we certainly are still in a correction and consolidation phase for global stock markets. Now, performances are varied, and I think I said a few days ago, both in writing and also in these audios, that I wouldn't be surprised if China actually outperformed, because news is coming through that the Chinese economy is doing better than a lot of the pessimists had been suggesting. I mean, how many times have you heard hard landing? About China and the whole thing's in a mess and so on. My own view has been more relaxed on that, but I'd prefer to see that confirmed by some A-share strength, and we haven't seen much of that until about a week and a half ago. Now, the ASEAN stock markets are still doing quite well, quite steady overall, so they haven't been sucked down by declines in the past. Although investors' nerves will be tested if we get a further pullback, and on the odds favor that we will get a further pullback. You know, I've talked about a number of weeks and possibly even months in terms of a ranging phase. And now that Apple has broken that incredibly orderly uptrend that we had seen this year, and it is worth looking at that chart. It was so overextended to the upside, and I've said over and over again that these things do not end well. And so that may unnerve people a bit and spread throughout the tech sector a bit. My own view is that Apple has probably peaked for the medium term. That's what I would expect after a run like it's seen to the upside. And hey, I've got nothing against Apple. I think it's a phenomenon, an absolute phenomenon. But as I've also said, and not just recently, but for decades, that these accelerations to the upside, the bigger they are, the more they interrupt the trend. And if you want other examples for that, just look at silver and gold. Okay. So there's a good news silver lining in that, and that people who are interested in Apple but missed out on the last run are probably going to get another bite at the cherry over the next few months. And moving on, though, what I've been hoping is that we would not see one of those dramatic, scary sell-offs in markets, although that's always a risk. Investors have been twitchy for the last few years, and it's easy to understand why. But let's look at some of the problems that people are facing. Well, Apple, to me, it's not a problem. It's a great success story. It just ran ahead of itself, priced for perfection. So it pulls back and consolidates, but that will certainly weigh on or cap the Nasdaq rally for a while. No bad thing there. Healthy correction, I'll describe it as. Then there's Europe. Well, Europe's in a mess, as we know, and the factor, though, that I feel is different this year than last year is the ECB's role as lender of last resort. Now, I described a situation on Friday where those LTRO loans, those enabled these banks to, European banks, to borrow over €1 trillion from the ECB. That's quantitative easing by another name. And then they plowed a lot of that money right back into the sovereign debt here, and their capital adequacy requirements can come under pressure as those yields push up. So how do we get out of this, especially as you get hedge funds and the like who will be shorting those Italian and other troubled European sovereign bond markets, not to mention the banks? Well, it's the ECB again. The ECB will eventually come in, and I'm sure that they will buy some Spanish bonds to drive down those yields. But of course, the ECB doesn't want to be rushing in first all the time. What they do want to see is the politicians acting here within these countries. They want to see them stick to some austerity measures so that that doesn't undermine confidence in the markets. They're also mindful of the need of growth, so I'm sure the ECB would like to see some more growth-friendly policies introduced as well. And the two are not totally incompatible, the austerity programs and also some pro-growth emphasis. That's what they need to do. Not easy. Nobody ever said it was. But I maintain that The Euro crisis probably doesn't have the capacity to terrify investors all over the world any to anywhere near the same degree that it had last year. And I'll stick with I'll stick with that one. But you know, that's enough to offer a big blitz to the upside for stock markets. That's enough to cause Europe to certainly underperform, and it has, and will probably continue to do so overall. Elsewhere, precious metals. Well, I've mentioned it in terms of look for perspective to last two prior accelerations to the upside for gold and silver, followed by for gold pullbacks and medium-term corrective phases lasting about 18 months. And we only peaked in August, so we could see this for the rest of the year. More ranging activity, although I think that if we're going to get another up leg, that I would expect gold to certainly be above its levels today, 1650, come the end of the year. And I wonder, as I say, if we aren't building a bit of support right around this level. We will see, of course, but expect more ranging overall. And we may actually be getting back onto that old path that we saw for gold, which was strong moves in the odd number of years. That would be, of course, 2013. I don't think we've seen the last of gold's upward moves, and all the quantitative easing that we've been seeing around the world is really that's the fundamental background for another up leg in gold, in my opinion. What else to mention here? Crude oil. The heat's off here in the short term. The risk of that oil price spike looks to be fading. Let's hope that it stays that way. It has done a little damage to global GDP growth, but we do not have an energy crisis. We did have an energy crisis last year. We had an even bigger energy crisis in 2008. And one of the reasons, although crude oil got not was not that far off its highs of last year, one of the reasons why it's not a crisis, because we've got plenty of other energy that's been coming on stream, or from other sources, I should say, than crude oil. And so that's helped overall. And currencies, mostly range bound. I do think we're going to see the euro break down at some point, but so far it's kind of locked in this range between just under 130 and up to around the 134 level. But I do think that Europe will need a weaker currency just to help to encourage a little bit of growth in those troubled economies, Germany excepted. And I think that's pretty much it. So, all the best.